And in verse 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich for your sakes, he became poor, that you should through his poverty might be rich. Wherein I give advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year. And therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness of will, so there will be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, not according to what he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by the equality that now is at this time, your abundance may be supplied for their want. But their abundance also may supply for your want, that there be equality. And as it is written, he that gathereth much hath nothing over, and he that gathereth little hath no lack." Now, I want to concentrate on the first few verses and pick out several verses in this discourse and these scriptures to commend them to you this morning, because I know the value of them in the life of a Christian. He said, talking about the Macedonians, and he praised them. He said, "Out of the great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy and deep poverty, they abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to wit, I bear record. Yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." And then he says in verse 5, "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave them own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." Dear Lord, we lift ourselves up to you again this morning, asking you to speak to our hearts. Probably, dear Lord, of all the things that are preached in this pulpit and all of the things in the epistles, this is probably at the top of one of the most important principles and truths that we find. Because, dear Lord, if we grasp this truth and we apply it to our lives, two things will occur. Dear Lord, first, your work will be accomplished. And second, dear Lord, we will abound in your grace and mercy and blessings. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Christians ought to be liberals. Now, of course, you know I'm not talking in political terms this morning. The term liberal in most cases is not desirable. There are religious liberals also who profess to be Christians, but they deny most of the doctrines of God's Word. And so many call themselves Christians and yet deny the Word of God. And they don't live for Christ. And not living for Christ, they're denying Christ. Do you understand who the Word is? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was what? God. That Word, Logos, is Jesus Christ. You cannot separate Jesus Christ from His Word. You can't separate your belief and your trust and your faith from the Word. Because to do so, if you love Christ, you'll love His Word. As I said in Sunday school this morning, the Bible's very plain about some things. One of the things it says emphatically, Jesus said it, "My sheep hear my voice, and they're not going to follow another." So this morning, I want to encourage you to be a liberal. And those of you who know me can probably laugh at that. But a liberal in a matter of your stewardship unto the Lord. I think it's appropriate to preach this message on stewardship this morning, because it's so vital and important within our lives. You want to receive the blessings of God. You want to have the very best life that you can. Be a good steward of what God has given you. Two things are very apparent this morning. To to be a servant of God, to live for Him, we must be in the faith. And the product of our faith will be our stewardship. That's what he was saying here. Now therefore perform the doing of it. Verse 11 of chapter 8. That as there was a readiness to will, so there be a performance also out of which ye have. So what is stewardship? It means the duties of a steward. Now, the steward is somebody who has been placed in charge of something that doesn't belong to him. So it's not, in a sense, and this is such a profound truth, it's not taking charge in a sense of something that you own. Because, do you understand, you don't own anything. You've been bought with a price if you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You are His creation first. And second, when you became a Christian and you believed in Jesus Christ and were born again, you became also His child and a joint heir with Him. So, everything we have comes from God. When I was in Sunday school as a little boy, I learned that. We would pray and thank God for all the things that we were given. I had Sunday school teachers who taught me that I was the child of God, in the sense the creation of God, and that all I had came from God. And so in our family, at every meal we ever had, all the children, there was five of us, we'd come to the table. Daddy would come in and sit down, probably after we sat, a lot of times. Mother would be fussing around at the stove and putting things on the table, and then she would sit down, and Daddy would pray, and we would thank the Lord for His bounty to us. And you know what, I can remember that was precious times. That were precious times because I had a godly mother and father. And I'm not saying that I did what they taught me, because there was a time in which I left the knowledge of God and lived on my own. But I thank God that I came back and he kept pursuing me. And finally, in 1972, he saved me. The Bible says that we are stewards of what? First, our bodies. Know you not that your body is a temple of God? Our health, our material possessions, our talents, our spiritual gifts, our families. In fact, all we have came from God, and we are trustees of it. So that's why the Bible uses that word, stewardship, to teach us that what we have belongs to the Lord. You say, well, my name is on the deed of my house and on the deed of my trucks and whatever I own. Well, it might be, and hopefully it are. But you know what? Everything you have comes from God. Everything. And it ultimately belongs to Him. And by the way, you understand, and a lot of people don't grasp this truth here. Do you understand this whole world is going to perish? And it's going to be consumed in fire. And all these things that are so important to us aren't going to mean anything. They're going to be seen as vain and worthless, because they are. Now, I'm not saying that we ought to not have houses and cars and so forth like this. We want to live comfortable. There's nothing wrong with trying to live comfortably. But we ought to realize first that we are to give Jesus Christ preeminence in our lives. That means He gets first place. And that means in everything we have, our very lives, everything. So we are trustees of what God has given us. And as a trustee is accountable, we are accountable. We are responsible to God for how we manage what He has given us. Now let's look at the attitude of a true servant of God, a true steward of God, and of His blessings. And also look at the ones who are not. Owner, one who practices stewardship. We say, my material possessions, even myself, exclusively belongs to me. That's the person who sees that he owns everything. These are exclusively mine. Stewardship, the steward, he says, my resources belong to God, who is the owner of all things, who created this whole universe and put me in it. He has temporarily entrusted me with the resources that I have. Now, this is the concept of private property is valid, and we have it because we're put in charge of it. But it doesn't mean it's ours. Since God has entrusted His resources to you and me, we don't have the right to make choices about them that's out of line with God's Word. Now let me say that again. If God has given us to us, and He has given us charge of it, and we are responsible for it, we don't have any right to take what God has given us and what belongs to Him. And that means you and I, me, my personal self, and my material possession, to take charge of it and not use it as God would have me to use it. Because it's His. The owner would say this, well, he's one who doesn't practice stewardship. He says, I use my resources as I wish. They're mine, I'll do with what I want to. And I've heard people tell me that. The steward would say, I should use God's resources to advance God's priorities because they belong to Him. Now, are you thinking about the parables that the Lord Jesus gave? When He talked about the good steward, the master required of him to increase what had been given to him, and he didn't. In one case, one was given 10 talents, another 5, and another 2. And two of them used what God had given them, the talents, and they created more. The other one buried in the ground. And God said he was a wicked servant. The steward who does practice stewardship says, I'm not accountable to anybody but my God, and I'm accountable to Him. The steward will say, I want to give an account of what God has given me. Now, I'm not talking about salvation, but I'm talking about for reward. So how do you view yourself? As the owner of yourself and of your possessions, or do you see yourself as a steward put in charge of what God has given you? Now, I'll tell you what. Don't we have a wonderful master that would put things in our charge and allow us great latitude in the sense of using them, as long as we don't violate His principles and His word? And let me tell you something. If you violate the principles in our Bible and the truths that God has given us, do you understand? We're actually working against our own selves. It's not good to ignore God's principles in our life and to use the things and the possessions that God has given us in a way that does not honor God and that is contrary to His word. So, the non-Christian, his desire and is motivated for his own selfish reasons. This mine, I'll do it what I want. He don't recognize God. He doesn't accept that. Now, do you think a Christian ought to have that attitude? The first step is to personally, in coming in the right relationship with Jesus Christ, is to admit you are a sinner. And you're under the condemnation of sin. You know, nobody wants to hear that. The whole world. In my office, I was witnessing to a fellow just this past week. And you know what? The first thing I told him when I began witnessing to him, I asked him, did he think he was going to go to heaven? And he says, well, probably. And I said, well, on what basis would you go to heaven? He said, well, I do a lot of good things for people. And I said, boy, that tells me something about you. You're a good person, aren't you? He said, yes, I am. I said, you know what? There are a lot of good people. And I'm not condemning being a good person and morally and helping other people. I said, but you know what? You need to first realize that as morally good and so forth as you are, you still are under the condemnation of sin. And you are separated from God. And if you don't come within a right relationship of God, you're going to spend eternity in hell. Well, you know, that's not popular today to tell somebody they're going to go to hell. I said, do you understand that? I asked him, I said, have you sinned against God? And he said, well, I've done things that are wrong. I said, well, if you sinned against God, what are you? Well, he said, I guess I'm a sinner. And I said, the Bible is very plain about it. The wages of sin is death. But it didn't stop there. The gift of God is eternal life. Do you see what I was doing? Now, if you're astute and listening to what I'm telling you how to witness to people. Because you can't get anybody saved until they realize they're lost. That's the problem that we have in this state. Most people don't realize that. We go out and attack the religion of this state and all their beliefs and everything that is contrary to the Bible. And we think that we're really doing something. You know, what we're making here with, you're wasting your time. Because they all think they're right. And they don't see themselves as sinners under the condemnation of God. And until they get to that point, buddy, you're not going to reach them. They need to first see that they're under the condemnation of their sin. And then they got a reason to believe in Jesus Christ. You tell people, well, I love Christ. He'll love you. Accept Him as your Savior. And he'll love you and He'll give you all these wonderful things and wonderful things and changes in your life. They think that's true. But you know what? Most people don't realize they even want the love of God because they don't realize they need it. And why would you want the love of God when you don't think you need it? I'm doing pretty good on my own. You see? I got to move on. So the first thing is to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And you can't accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior until you realize you need a Savior. You need to be saved. Something has to happen or you're not going to go to heaven. Because heaven is a righteous place. There's no sin there. And the only people that are going to go to heaven are sinless people. And the problem is, then how can I become righteous in God's eyes? How can I have my sins forgiven? There's only one way. And that is through belief and trust in Jesus Christ. Throwing ourselves upon the mercy of God. Oh Lord, the old publican beat on his chest and said, be merciful unto me, a sinner. And I could go on and on about it. One day I'm going to preach a message pretty soon that'll address all these things. So in this particular passage here, talking about the Macedonians, these were Christians. By the way, they believed just like you and I did. You know, you could call them a fundamental Baptist church. Oh, you say, well, I don't see that in the Bible. Yes, you can. If you knew what they believed and you know what we believe the same. We're the same kind of people. We believe the same thing. We trust Christ the same way. We believe His Word the same way. You understand? And by the way, they weren't using corrupt Greek texts either in their services. They used the, and by the way, there are, I don't have time to go into that. I can tell you something. But there were corrupt Greek texts in their day. They weren't following them. They were following the texts out of Syrian, the Syrian texts, which is called the Syrian Vulgate, not the Vulgate of Jerome, but the Syrian, which was the copies of the original. So as Paul was teaching the Corinthians here, stewardship. Boy, I got very long. The Macedonians churches, they were like the Philippians, they were like the Bereans, and they were like the Thessalonians. He said, I want you to know. I want you to know these truths. He wanted them to know that their giving was an act of the grace of God in their lives. Now, first thing you think about is giving, you talk about money. And I'll tell you what, some people have a real problem with money. But let me, if you know what, if you've given yourself to God wholly and totally, you don't have a problem with money. I see so many people struggling, and I'll just kind of inject this at this point. I see so many people struggling with money. They don't have any. But they don't tithe. They don't give their offerings to the Lord. And I'm not saying tithe like in the Old Testament time. I'm talking about giving at least 10%. That's a place to start in giving to the Lord. They don't give a thanksgiving offering to the Lord. They just look in the wallet, pull out a couple of dollars and stick it in. That's it. And they think they've been done. Oh, I'll give. They've never done what the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. They've never sat down and determined in their heart what God wanted them to give. And gave that because they loved God. That's what he says here. These folks loved God. And he says, I speak not by commandment. I'm not telling you that you're to give out of commandment. Do you know that? That's what he said. He wrote to the Thessalonians. To the Corinthians. And by the way, it's in 2 Corinthians, same chapter we're in, chapter 9, well, next chapter, verse 6. Read it with me. This is what he said. He just says over here, I'm not telling you this by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, to prove your sincerity of love. Then he says over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I said, 1 Corinthians, I made a mistake a while ago. He said, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. But do you understand that if you're going to sow bountifully, you're going to, or sparingly, that's a decision that you're going to make. It's not something that just happens automatically. There's a decision made when people give sparingly or bountifully. And then he reiterates that in verse 7. Let every man, according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. You remember what he said? This, I'm not giving you a commandment. I'm commending this to you to show your proof and love for the Lord and your relationship to Him. For God is able to make all grace abound unto you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Let me read this is an Abrams translation, okay? And by the way, it's based on the TR, the Greek text. God is able to make to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things and in all times, having all you need, you will abound to every good work. That's what he says. Now, let's move on. God wants us to be good stewards of what he's given us. These Macedonians wanted to be used of the Lord. That's another part of this. You know, do you understand God's work is done by who? The preacher. Man, that's who does God's work. The preacher does. You mean he had to do it all by himself? Is that what it means? I think it means more than that. I think it just means everybody has got to do God's work. And that is the privilege that we have been given. Everyone here has a ministry. You say, I don't know I've had a ministry. Yes, you do. You have a ministry. You may not be faithful to it, but you got one. Because that's what God, when we saved us, did. He called us to serve Him, to be good stewards. And the stewardship involves not only our money, our lives, but also the truth that we have. Do you see that? We've been given truth. We've been given the gospel. We've been given the commission to carry it to the uttermost parts of the earth. So it's more than just just possessions. Stewardship involves everything within the faith. And it says this. It's what he says here. This is the principle. They first gave themselves. That's the heart of biblical stewardship. They gave themselves. You know, we need to understand these things if God is going to use us and if God's purpose and his gospel is going to go forward and if folks are going to be saved. Many times churches are not seeing folks saved. And there are reasons, all kinds of reasons. But there should never be the reason that a church is not winning souls to Christ is because they're not interested and not actively trying to win souls to Christ. These folks were looking opportunities to serve God. And guess what? There was a perfect opportunity. His name was the Apostle Paul. And he had some needs. He was trying to carry the gospel into these other countries and these other cities. He needed help. You know, do you understand a full-time man working in the ministry doesn't have time to work? You know, let me just back up and say this. Now, you take what I'm saying with a grain of salt. If I wasn't preaching, I'd still be doing well, okay? I ran a very successful business, and one of the largest security systems companies in Eastern North Carolina in the 70s, early 70s. I was doing well. I didn't need to preach to make a living. In fact, it has cost me and my wife, you would not know what it's cost us to do that. And we gladly did it. We have never regretted it one minute. We've never in our hearts resented the fact that we had to do it. You know what? God has adequately and abundantly blessed us through the years. But if God says, Cooper, I want you out of the pulpit tomorrow, guess what? I'd still go out and make a living. And I'd do it in a godly way, and God would bless it, because that's what he did in the business we had. Okay? So, but if you're looking for opportunities to serve, you can find them. The problem today is so many people are not walking with the Lord, and they're not spiritually in tune to the Lord, and so they don't have that spiritual insight to try to reach others for Christ. By the way, if you don't have yourself right, and you're not walking with the Lord, how can you be an influence to other people? You see the problem with that? The grace of God, when it's operating in our lives, we are in fellowship with Him. We're in agreement with Him. God is working. We're walking in the Spirit, in the light, as 1 John tells us. So Paul was explaining to them, I'm sending you Titus. Listen, you folks are really on fire for the Lord. You're serving God. I want to send Titus to you. I've begun to work with you. I've given you the foundational truths and everything. And you've responded so well to them. But I want you to keep on growing. You know, you don't never reach a place in God's eyes that you quit growing. I want you to keep on growing. So I'm going to send Titus to you so that he can continue to help you to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. And another principle he gives us here is because they were yielding to the grace of God, it enabled them to help other people. Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm not the one who really came up with this. I've read it many, many times, and I've heard it preached many, many times also. If everybody in a church, and I'm not saying that it's that God's New Testament plan for Christians is to tithe. Oh, you say, you're not going to say that. I'm saying it. The New Testament says, I read it to you a while ago, we are to determine in our hearts what we are to give God. And then, let me stop right here and say this also. He says down here, you can't give more than what you own. You understand that? You can't give more than what God blesses you. So, what God blesses you, God's put in your possession, you have control over that, you have a responsibility for that, whatever it might be. And so, you abundantly give of that to the Lord. That's what he says. You can't give what you don't have. So, he enabled them to give out of their deep poverty. What was the problem, though? Paul called it in a trial of affliction. You mean, what does that mean? He says right here, he says, they gave in the abundance of their joy, of their what? Deep poverty, and abounded unto the riches of their liberality. So you say, oh, I don't have much to give. You know, I don't have any training. I'm not a Bible scholar. We've got 1,000 excuses. And God said, they're of no value at all. They're worthless. You just get that out of your mind. These folks gave out of their deep poverty. You say, well, I only got an 8th grade education. My daddy was one of the most godly men I knew, and he was a man who knew the Bible. My daddy had an 8th grade education. He had to quit in 8th grade because of the depression. He had to go out and work, or he would have starved, you know what I mean? And he had people to take care of his family, his family. His mother had died and so forth. So my daddy was never rich. But I'll tell you what, he was a giver, and he gave first himself. And my daddy understood the Bible, and he served God his whole life. He used to make people upset with him. He had a garage down in Pine Tops, North Carolina, behind Edgecombe Oil Company, which doesn't exist now. And if you walked in there and looked at his little office, had a little place there, a little office there, where he kept the records and wrote the invoices and everything. And if you walked in there, guess what you would see all over the place? Gospel tracts. And if you came in there and he worked on your car, you got a gospel tract, you know? He did it to everybody. And if you let him, he'd tell you about the Lord. Eighth grade education. But he did good. And God used him. He's there in the portal of heaven right now rejoicing. Folks, I've got to quit. Don't you think that God has blessed you? You say, well, he hadn't given me much money. That really has no bearing on your service to the Lord. I want to say something really pointed. You know I do that from time to time. Guess what's hanging on our bulletin board? A sign-up sheet. What is it for? Cleaning the church. Keeping the nursery and that up there too. What else, Carolyn? Fellowship. Fellowship's taking charge of the fellowships and everything. A lot of blank spaces on there. A lot of opportunities to serve. The Macedonians really showed they love God. And you could tell it. Because their profession of faith was true. And they showed it. They demonstrated by what they did. And they were very generous. And I'm going to tell you what I have seen. I've never seen a generous Christian ever suffering with financial want. Never have. You say, well, that means you're giving to get. No. You give to the Lord, and if you've got the right attitude about it, God will bless you. And you know what? when the tough times comes, and you know, and the famine hits, God still blesses. And you thank God for the little he gives you or the bounty he gives you. Whatever it is. Whatever it was. You thank God for it. They were spiritual people. Spiritual people. Folks, this church is not a business. Do you understand that? It's not a business. In fact, what we are here to do is to receive money and spend it. You say, wait a minute. Well, that's kind of a tough statement to make there. We're here in the as a group of people who are assembled in the name of Jesus Christ because we've been born again and have been baptized. And we've joined ourselves together in the common cause to serve Jesus Christ. And where can we do it at? No place but here in this town that we live in. So we're here. And we spend the money that comes in. And we spend it on missions. We pay the light bills that we have. We pay for the garbage collection. Yeah, we do pay for that. And other things that are needed, we take our money that God gives us, that he has put us in charge of, that we are stewards of it, and we spend it to the glory of God. And you know this, if you know me, I'm frugal. And so is my dear wife. I mean, we don't waste any money. Now, I'm not going to be so tight that, like was done in this church, you know, they did away with the garbage service until everybody said, take your trash home. Nah, we're not going to do that. Because if folks give like I ought to, we'd have all we need. And this is the point I'm going to try to make. If everybody in our church that's a member of our church gave just 10% of whatever they make, whatever it is, whatever they have to give, probably our income would double. At least double. Probably go a lot higher than that. Say, that can't be true. Yes, it is. Well, I know people. Well, you got people in the church got a lot of money. I don't know anybody in this church got a lot of money. Do you? You know what? Everybody I know in this church, we're just ordinary people. Most of us are middle class or less. We don't have a lot. But I'll tell you what, whatever we have, God will take it and use it. And whatever we use for the Lord, he will return it unto us, as he says, bountifully. A lot of people don't have. because they don't give. Let me challenge you. The clock is straight up, 12 o'clock. So don't turn around and look. Trust me, it's 12 o'clock. Okay. Let me challenge you to do something. This day, this hour, right now, pray and give yourself wholly unto the Lord. Pray something like this: Oh God, I want to give myself wholly unto you as a good steward of all that you have given me. Would you show me what you want me to do? Would you direct me? And I commit myself to you right now. Whatever you give me, I'm going to be a good steward of it. And I'm going to commit it to the Lord. I'm going to commit it to the Lord. You say, what's that mean as far as giving and offerings? It just means you just determine in your heart what you want to give before the Lord. You involve Him in it. You know, you kind of partner with the Lord and say, Lord, you give me this. Now, how much of this do you want me to give you back? Okay? That's what you do. That makes sense. And you give it. You give it unto the Lord. And then sit back and watch. Now, I don't mean sit back and not do nothing, but you continue, but live for the Lord. Not only in giving financially, but in your life and seeking to witness and reading your Bible and Bible study and attendance to the church. All of these things are involved in stewardship. But you commit those things to the Lord and watch how God will work in your life. You'll be amazed. You'll just be amazed. Would you commit to do that this morning? Do you see yourself as a steward before Almighty God? Young people, are you listening to me this morning? You say, well, this is to the adults. No, it's not. This is to everybody's here. Boys and girls, you're stewards of what God has given you, the life you have. Give your life to the Lord right now. I wish I'd have given my life to the Lord when I was your age. I really do. All the things that I would have saved, the heartache, the trouble that I would have saved myself from. And how many years more I could have been able to serve God. Give yourself to the Lord. So this is for everybody here, boys and girls alike. I don't care how old you are. 5 years old? How many five-year-olds do we have? One of them, five-year-old, is not paying attention. Okay. Her brother's pointing to her. Okay. Would you do that this morning? Would you do that this morning? Love God. Let Him use you. Giving all you have to Him. Bountifully give to the Lord. And bountifully you will reap. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for our time together. Thank you for this wonderful, wonderful thing that you've given us. This privilege of how we are to live our lives as Christians. We just thank you, dear Lord, for the privilege we have. For how much you love us. Dear Lord, let this sink into our minds and hearts. Let's meditate upon it. Lord, commit ourselves to you. Be good stewards of that, what you've given us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, Brother Andy, what's our song?
Number 222. Let's stand.